Welcome back to the second episode of the Urban Valley Podcast with Adrian Gonzalez. I have another guest coming back from the last episode, and she can go ahead.
Vic.
And we have a new guest who is also joining us today.
I'm Mobel Hicks.
And today we're going to be talking about student life and whether we have like some tips to be a good student or how it could be hard, how it could be good. I'll start off with, what is your guys' favorite part of being a student?
I feel like I'm actually doing something, like I'm working towards something instead of just like going back to my job over and over and over. So there's like a sense of accomplishment that before I wasn't producing, just like getting a paycheck, like being educated is, I don't know, it's been fun so far.
By Hicks.
The best thing or what I've really enjoyed about being a student here, first you get to meet new people where you get to exchange ideas, like it helps expand your mindset. And also, as she said, that we are able to interact and have fun, and we are able to really engage in activities that better ourselves rather than just, let's say, waking up in the morning, work back home. So it breaks the monotony. Yeah,
I agree with Vic. Being my favorite part is feeling accomplished and having like a goal to go towards. I was a student at UNI for 2 years, and then the whole COVID stuff happened and everything went online, and I realized I hate online classes, and I was immature and I couldn't have that responsibility that I needed to be focused on online classes. But now that I'm back, after just, you know, working and not doing anything, I feel like I have a drive and a goal to go towards, and that makes you feel better as a person, honestly. And hopefully, like, you know, going for a career instead of just, you know, working a regular job. I also do enjoy, like, I have a mix of both online and in-person classes, and I've been able to, like, up my social battery just by going to the classes, so that's kind of nice, too. Do you guys struggle with balancing your student life and your home life and your work life and all that, all the stuff jumbled together?
Me, personally, I have so much going on outside of school. It would be crazy if I didn't struggle with it. Like, I have kids, and then I also have a full-time job. So yes and no. I think that when you are in school for a long period of it, you're like almost supposed to struggle and like figure it out. I know that sounds like really negative, but I think it's better in the long run, because like while you're figuring this out, it's better to struggle now than later when you're supposed to have like everything together, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to give myself grace with the struggle right now.
Mm-hmm. Struggle before you have, like, a mortgage.
Yes, before I have a mortgage. Let's get the associates out of the way, at least. And then later on, if I want to go back, I'll go back, and I'll just finish for the whatever the next step is. I'm not quite sure.
I really struggled at first, I can say. Like, when I entered, I was trying to balance what time I'll do the homework, what time I'll have to watch lecture videos. It was quite a struggle at first, but once you try, you learn how to balance your time. You really can. You really can make it. And also, what can actually help you is, let's say, if you have supporting people, or people like my boss actually usually allows me to do my homework at work, so which is really cool. Yeah, so that was actually my biggest struggle. But on my social life, I can say I usually use school as my social life, because most of the time I'm watching lecture videos, I'm doing quizzes, I'm doing study modules. Yeah, so I can say it has taken an impact, but I can say for the better.
Do you guys have any tips that like helped you balance, that like helped you manage your time into finding a good spot? Like, okay, every week, like obviously we have scheduled classes weekly, but you don't have scheduled times to study and do your homework. How do you pick when the perfect time is, and then be responsible enough to sit down and to actually do it. Because it's easy, when no one's watching you, it's easy to be like, oh, I'll do it later. And you're behind.
I am going to take a fault, or I'm going to acknowledge that I also do that. I usually say that mm-hmm. I'll do it later. Because we have, like, a lot of, especially our phones. I'm usually on my phone most of the time. So I'm like, okay, I have my assignments are due on Monday. I'll do it on Sunday or Monday. Or I'll do it on in the weekends, yeah. So we just really, when it reached at that time, you realize there's a whole lot of workload that actually you can't finish at that time. Or you're finishing in a rush, which makes you like, okay, wait, I cannot understand anything that I'm doing here. So what actually I implemented is that I try maybe as far or the hours that I'm actually here in school, I try to make them productive, that I can do some of my homework, not like leave a whole workload on until like the due day. Yeah, so just the short times where like I get bored, especially when I'm charging my phone. Let me just use that. Actually, the good thing with the phones, it usually ends, like the power ends, so I can charge my phone while I do my assignment. So I can say that that is a really big way that I've used.
For me, for the only thing I've ever like scheduled in my life is probably my children's like doctor's appointments. Those are the only things I had to worry about. Because for my work, I choose my schedule every week. I got lucky enough to get into that shift. So every week is completely different. It's very chaotic. Recently, I've been trying to do this thing where I actually fill out a calendar. I know it's groundbreaking. It's brand new. But on my phone, I actually started putting in every single thing I'm doing. And it's not just like scheduled events. So I know when things are due, so before that, I will go in and I will force myself to put in, like, study chunks of time. And some of them are just, like, 20 to 30 minutes, because that's all you have to do to, like, reply to a comment section. Or in some classes are, like, all built differently. But depending on your classes, sometimes you only do need 30 or 45 minutes for half of the week's work. So every single thing I do now is on a calendar, and it's been less chaotic. Still chaotic because there's a lot of things on the calendar, but like lunch is scheduled, going to bed is scheduled. Mm-hmm. And then I don't remember exactly who told me to do it, and it was probably some random college influencer, but he was like, some very successful people live their life like this. Like you can't even get into their schedule. So I think if you can't figure it out, I feel like starting to the exact other extreme than just kind of winging it, then you can kind of like taper off if you don't need it anymore once you find a structure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mine is, my schedule's been chaotic, and I've been struggling with it. I usually get 2 days off a week, but they change. I usually have Thursdays off, which is nice, but on those 2 days, it's usually when I'll sit down and sit on my desktop and do it. But when I like have like I do all the week in one day, it can get a little, you know, like draining. You know what I mean? So I do want to figure out a way that I can balance it out throughout the week. But it's a little tough for me because I'll be here in the morning Monday through Thursday, and after that I work until 8. And when I get home, I'm like, oh, I don't want to do that. You know? So it can be tough for me. And I also have a whole bunch of other things that I do too, like. I play video games. I have, I'm really close to my family. I call my mom every day. Me and my friends do our own podcast together. And that's what has been taking the biggest hit is because we filmed like 3 episodes and I haven't had time to edit them. And then they get outdated. So like, oh, I can't even post it. It's been like a month. And
yeah.
So I'm trying to discipline myself more to just sit down and do the work when it comes to like that little bit of extra work, like with what I want to do with my podcast and what I would like to do with like spreading out my workload instead of just doing it all at once and enjoying my day off a little bit more.
One of the interesting things I found out about the calendar thing is, the reason I wanted to try it specifically was because he had said something along the lines of, if you plan out your stuff like far enough in advance, you figure out how to make time for it. So, like, we have the break for school coming up. Like, last month, if you would have texted your friends and been like, this day, this day, this day, you could have, or you still probably could, depending on how serious they are about being, you could set that up for, like, after finals are done.
Mm-hmm.
And then you, in your head, would know about that. And be like, okay, so it's these days, so I can work towards that. Because, you know, it's hard to prioritize stuff, because if you don't socialize enough, then you don't actually want to, like, complete college, because you're, like, I'm burnt out. The only thing I see is my textbooks or my computer screen.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, I don't want to do it anymore. So finding that balance is pretty tough. But, I don't know, mini goals, I think, would be a good thing for everyone to kind of have. Like, for me, the whole reason I joined the digital media class next semester is because eventually I want to do it. So, like, it's on the schedule now.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you put something on a schedule, usually you're going to do it. If you have no schedule, then it's kind of like, how did I spend 45 minutes doom scrolling? Like, I do that all the time. Doom scrolling is probably going to be the death of me, but, you know?
I feel you.
I have a question. Has there been a situation like, I once tried that scheduling thing, but there's this situation where you schedule it for, let's say, you have an appointment from 12 to 1, but then that appointment does not happen. Let's say it gets canceled. So how do you balance this free time? Because, like, person like me, I will really play games at that time. I will misuse that time until, yeah.
So. I think that's a totally fair response, though. Like, that's a... If you're following your schedule, you got 45 minutes. Like, play Subway Surfers. Play, like, Fallout. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you're, like, holding yourself accountable to the other things that are still there. And then just be mindful. Like, if you're stressed that you have to do something by the end of the week and you got this extra 45 minutes or an hour, and if it's going to be useful to you to do it then it's do it then. You know, it's like your personal touch. Like I said, I think that if you start at the extreme, you can back off and be flexible when you have, you know, have that time chunk that just pops up. Like today, I wasn't supposed to be here, but work was like, you can go home. We don't need you. So I got to come back. You know, I was just like, cool, let me pivot then. It's all about pivoting. Life's one big pivot.
Yeah, it is. What is, like, if you could build, like, the perfect class, like, teacher, they're like this, and then, like, this, the workload is like this, and your class is this long, you know what I mean? Like, building the perfect class, what would be the best? Like, for example, I would like probably an hour, 3 days a week, earlier in the day, and with a teacher that is more hands-on, and with a little bit of, like, a comedic side to them. And the homework area is more stuff that you do in class and based off participation and test and the stuff you do in class. That would be the perfect class to me. What would be something that you guys would enjoy?
My dream class, I would say it actually depends. If it's a science class, I would really want it to be a really practical class where we do everything in class, where we have all the practice, we get to touch chemicals, we get to really mess with stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the instructor needs to be, like, really audible. He or she needs to be really, like, also have a comedic side because like, just to break the monotony, because one time, let's say, when you're studying elements, just having one whole element, shall I say, sermon or what? Yeah. So also a comedic side, just to break the monotony, and also on assignments, my dream class, just all assignments to be due on one day,
like consistent one this
like,
day every
on
week.
This day. Like let's say we're studying through this week. We have classes. Yes, I know we'll do something in the class. Yeah, which is fair. But assignment like homework, like they should be due on one day. Let's say like most of my classes are due like on Monday. Like all my assignments, so that I know, all right, as I'm planning, I know that all my assignments for this subject are due on this day. Yeah. Instead of like just being shocked, all right, Like yesterday, I was surprised I had an assignment that I had not done. And it was almost due at 11:59. It was 9. So it would be really good if, like, they were all in one day so that I know all my assignments on that day.
Yeah, it's easier to plan around.
Yeah.
I have a huge fear of just math and science in general. Mm-hmm. And that's the part of the reason I didn't go to, like, some university or college before is because of just my lack of understanding those subjects. So I think in those subjects, I really would need something serious and in person. But I've really enjoyed the online format for most of my classes. But a huge reason I came back to college was, like, to create, not just to, like, educate myself, which is a added bonus, but I just want to create something. When I was little or into being a 12th grader, all through those years, I was always more inclined to create stuff or not just, like, being creative in the sense of an art sense, but I like writing papers and I like building worlds and all kinds of different things when it comes to being in a classroom setting. I don't know. I never want to take another test again. I feel like if it was more about a universal experience type thing and it wasn't about marks, I would feel so much better about class. Like, a test is, like, my biggest nightmare, and that's really chaotic and stressful for me because, like, I'm an A student. I'm not dipped under an A. So I can't figure out, like, why me, myself, I'm always stressed out about, like, tests and turning in essays and stuff because I like doing that stuff.
Yeah, it's just the excellence that you provide yourself so far. And you're, you know, when you're getting critiqued, you're always going to be worried about, mm-hmm. I'm used to this certain grade of, you know, like, what's the word? This certain grade of product that you're producing.
Yeah.
And you're worried that, like, oh, what if I did something different unknowingly and now I'm going to be, like, oh, it is stressful, especially when you have such high standards for yourself you don't want them to dip.
Yeah, I recently got, like, an 86 on an essay and almost cried. Like, I was like, how does it not say 9? Like, that's, like, my personal standard is 90 above. So I don't know how to handle that. Because I was fine with the rest of the class. So for me personally, that's what I'm trying to figure out right now.
It's good to be, you know, like, your own biggest critique. Like, having those high standards is really good. It's going to help you have a great career, honestly. But you also have to understand that, like, it's not the end of the world and that you're doing great yourself so far. Don't beat yourself up too much because it sounds like you're doing great. And there's going to be minor bumps in the road sometimes, but you can always, you know, just take it on the chin and be like, okay. And if it does bother you that much, you could ask, why did I get this grade? If it's not like a, you know, fill in the blank, you know, like a bubble test, like if it's like a paragraph, like an essay or something like that, you can ask, what could I have done better to get at least a 90? And you just take that and learn from that. But
yeah, I use Canvas as, like, a little tool because I got very intense about this, like, earlier today, an hour ago, to fill in the rest of their classes. They have, like, an option that, like, you can put in the grades. So I filled in everything else that I had gotten if I just stopped being in that class right now, which is composition 2.
Yeah.
It didn't turn anything else in, including the final essay. I would still have a 90% in the class. And that's the only thing that's helped so far. Where I'm just like, I could quit tomorrow and I'm solid. Like,
that's funny.
So use that tool. If you're ever in doubt, use that tool and just figure out.
Do you guys have, like, I guess, what are your main goals? I know you said you aren't, like, too sure after you finish at DMAC of what you want to do. Hicks, do you have an idea on what you might want to do after DMAC?
Yeah, I do. After DMAC, I'm doing a transfer program. I'll go to Iowa State. And also, I want to bring, I'm doing engineering. I would like to bring, like, new products to at least save or just bring or remove, if not at least solve, some of the problems that are in the world. Yeah, so also, mostly I want to start my own company. Yeah, because of that, like, so that you can take charge. Or who wouldn't want to start their own company? Yeah. So that's all I have for that, yeah. But that's after Iowa State.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm also in a transfer program too, and I'll probably will go to Iowa State. I haven't looked too much into it, but that's my plan is Iowa State right now, because I know I have to be in the area because I work around here and I live here, and you know, I couldn't go to a different school. But I've looked a little bit into Drake, but it's just, you know, it's expensive. You know, it's expensive. Those private schools are really, really expensive. When I first graduated high school, I went to UNI, and I had good grades in high school, and I was a first generation, and I was a minority, so I got really good scholarships, and I went there, but then I kind of lost them as, you know, I dropped out. And then my sister she graduated a year after me, and she went to a private school in South Virginia, and I was paying about like $6,000 a year, $7,000 at UNI, and that was just for my room board. I didn't have to pay tuition. But my sister was paying for her tuition and her room board. And she got a little bit off because she was on the softball team, but I think hers came out to like $30,000 a year.
Oh, they don't play about out of state students. You get extra charges if you're not from the state.
Yeah. I think in most of them, you the out of state charges. But yeah, I think she ate up those bills. I'm like, good God. I hope you enjoyed it, but those private schools do not play.
I'm not completely sure exactly what I'm going to do after the end of my 2 years, or two-ish, because I don't know how the semesters work out with me being part-time, full-time, part-time. But initially, I was going to finish my 4 and then potentially keep going. But the issue came to be that the transfer school that DMAC had offered on the registration, like stuff online, wasn't clear that I could do online school for the first 2 years, but then like Northern Iowa didn't have online classes that supported my degree. We don't live in Northern Iowa, and I can't just pick up and move a whole household. So at the end of this, I'm hoping to either be established as a amateur freelance writer, probably something to do in politics, or be part of a nonprofit that helps people, because I have lots of heavy views on the world that isn't meant for this podcast, but you know. I'm working towards something. Who knows what that is? Or maybe I'll just find a different way to go for the next 2 years on online writing courses. You know, there's still time to figure it out. I've been trying to be less stern about my own like standards for myself. So not knowing is fine. Mm-hmm. I'm like 20, almost 27 now. So I feel like I'm very much behind. Anytime I show up here, I'm like, I'm old.
I feel that too. I'm 25 and I feel it too. Because when I first went to school, I was 18, 19 years old. And then, you know, time goes by and I was like, I need to hurry up and do this. I don't have all that much left, but I was like, I need to get this done. I personally want to do writing as well, but I want to do it in sports. Basketball majority, a big basketball head.
They just got a new teacher for sports writing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you should look on the DMAC catalog, because he's like supposed to be some hotshot, I think, in sports, like journalism.
I know I have a class with a teacher named Katie Mitchell. She was going to have me talk to someone, because I guess he used to do like the sports, like a calling, like the calling the game.
Yeah, the announcements. Yeah. I think, we're probably talking about the same dude.
I guess he did Spanish, though. I guess he's a Spanish teacher here.
Oh, I thought he was in politics or something.
Well, I think we're all good. Is there anything else you guys would like to let anyone know about what it's like being a student?
Get sleep. Sleep is very, very, very important. I feel like all students, no matter your age or where you come from or whatnot, we all underestimate how tiring it is to do this for so long. Mm-hmm. And the effects it'll take on us later. If you don't sleep now, your body will pay for it 30 years from now, and that's not a trade-off you want to do. So if I could give advice to anybody doing anything forever, do not take sleep for granted, and make sure you get an applicable amount of it so you don't get sick.
Mm-hmm. I would say, just for like the first-year students, like if you are maybe a little bit uncertain on what you want to do, you have these classes, you can take a whole bunch of different things, just take them. Because I've changed my major 3 times now. when I first went to school, I wanted to be a therapist for sexual survivors, like sexual abuse survivors. And I ended up changing again. I was like, okay, now I just want to be a social worker, I want to help kids. And then I didn't really want to do that anymore, which sounds kind of rude. But no, I found like my actual true passion like 2 years later, 3 years later after that. So I wasn't really looking. I was just so, you know, like tunnel vision on something because I thought that's what I was supposed to be doing. But I found what I really want to do.
If you can get established somewhere else and make a decent life for yourself, you can always reach out and do outreach stuff, and donate and still be involved. The other stuff doesn't have to take a back seat because your career doesn't revolve around it. And I'm the same way. My thing, I was nonprofits, literally about the same thing. And missing women. Where did they go? No one knows. So, you know, it's just a very heavy thing. And I feel like even if your whole life isn't centered around there, you can still do help and still be positive in those spaces.
I want to thank Vic and Hicks. Vic and Hicks, I want to thank you guys for joining us today. It was a really good conversation. I want to thank all the listeners, whoever you guys are out there. Thank you. Appreciate it. And that was our second episode. So again, thank you. Peace out.